This is Melbourne calling. Welcome to Granny Bingo Wireless. These girls are the life of the funeral. Toodle pip.
Hey, come over here, go over there. Don't be scared now, yeah. Lift up your head, hold out your hand. Pull up your pants now, why did you pull down your pants? We only just met, but that's why I like you. People connecting, grandma's laughing, nostalgia and ethnic dancing.
And that was nice. Good King Wenceslas by Blue Ivy, a lovely cover of a beautiful song. Hello, kiddies, and Merry Christmas. Welcome to the final episode of Granny Bingo Wireless for the year. My name is Ms. Edith Vale, and I'm joined by my friend, confidant, and I guess you could say companion, Mrs. Maureen McGillicuddy. That's Mock Gillicuddy, not Mac Gillicuddy. How are you, love?
I'm very much not a Mac, thank you very much. I'm a Mock. I today am fabulous. Mm. I've decided I got out of the right side of the bed.
Oh, I'm glad to hear
as the saying goes, which is the side that doesn't lead down a set of stairs. For some reason, many years ago, I put my bed at the top of a set of stairs. And at this age, I can't lift a bed, for God's sake. So this morning, I started the day on flat ground. Mm. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, my darling. I've been for a cuppa at my favourite coffee shop. I absolutely love it.
What's the name of it?
Sunny's Coffee. It's a little... I drive to Essendon DFO.
Oh, fabulous.
And there's a lovely little cart there run by a young fellow named Sonny and his wife. Mm. And we chat for hours and they make the coffee so hot. His wife's had to go to hospital with burns a couple of times. But I love it. It's really nice. They don't have any other customers there. Well, the whole of DFO has no other customers there.
No.
And I sit there and I talk to them for hours, just sipping on my little cuppa. That's what I do to treat myself.
Oh, good on you. And you did that today, did you?
I did that today. I thought, I've got the podcast this afternoon. I'll go and do that first. So
yes,
that's what I did.
And what's Sonny's story? Has he always been into coffee or...?
No, he's a chef, but he does cook some food. The food he makes is a bit exotic for me. They've got wraps and things like that. Pita bread. No. I'll stick with the coffee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Especially yes. This time of year, you wouldn't want to upset God. Speaking of Maureen, it is Christmas time.
Oh, my favourite. Oh,
have
God.
You done all your Christmas wrapping?
No, I haven't done any Christmas wrapping this year. Yo, it's Maureen McGillicuddy here to say, I've seen more Christmases than Santa's sleigh. Is that good?
Well, it's a start.
I'll think of more and I'll do some later, because you know me, I'm always down in the hood.
I'm not doing any rapping this year, because I'm not giving any presents this year. I've decided, that's it, I've had enough, no more presents for anyone. Because, Maureen, I put so much effort in, you know me.
You're a thoughtful person.
I'm a thoughtful person, I think of no one but other people all year round. I spend all year picking little gifts out for people, but I never really feel appreciated for it. For example, many years ago I bought a little friend of ours. Her name was, we met her when you were doing the Lamar's class and I had to come
Oh, Lamar, Linda?
Lindy.
Lindy, yeah.
Chamberlain. She had the little girl and she was having such a difficult time with, you know, little bubba.
Yep.
And so I thought, well, what's the perfect thing? Young mum and her little bubba and her male friend, a nice camping trip. And we bought them that voucher to go camping up at Ayers Rock. And did I get a thank you for that? No.
You're kidding. I never asked. I didn't think much more after that.
I never even got so much as a little note or something. Because I thought, oh, the poor thing hasn't got a lot of money. You know, she's often hanging out with her little cult and things. I thought, I'll pop some little meaty treats in her bag so that she's got some little, I think I popped some Don kebab in there. I thought she can gobble on that if she gets peckish while she's camping. No, thank you. I even packed her sewing scissors in case she got bored and decided she needed to do some sewing or something like that. Nothing.
What a rude dog.
So I'm not doing presents for anyone anymore.
I'm the same as you, Edie. I mean, of course, I am the Lady President of the Melbourne Inner City Sub-Branch of the Country Ladies Association.
As keen listeners to the pod will know.
you would have heard the episode where the election coverage was from a couple of years ago. Anyway, because of my position in society, I'm a public figure due to this role that has been given to me. I've been grateful enough to serve the Australian public over the age of 80. I get to move in circles with politicians. Mm. And similar to you, I didn't get a thank you from Harry Holt when I gave him that boogie board that year. Remember that, Harry Holt?
Oh, yes, you got boogie board. That's right. The little snorkel
he was going
set.
Down with his wife down the Mornington Peninsula.
Mm. Lovely surf down there.
I said the back beach. I said, you'll never see surf like that overseas, Harry, you know. And he said something to me in Russian, and I don't think it was thank you. That would be danke or something like that. Mm. And that's not what he said. Mm. And next thing I know, I disappeared.
Without so much as a thank you. I know.
You're right. People get selfish.
Well, you're not the only one that's in touch with politicians, Maureen. What about when I had a moment of weakness and I felt sorry for Daniel Andrews during the pandemic and he was dealing with all that stuff, so I booked him that lovely Airbnb down on the morning Peninsula. Lovely Airbnb. A few steps up to the front door, but you know. Did I get a thank you for that? No. So that's it. Christmas, I'm happy to come to your house. I'm happy to have something to eat, a bit of grub, something to drink, a lot to drink. But I'm not bringing anything this year. I'm done with it.
Yep. You're done. You're checked out. Uh-huh. You're finished. Christmas spirit has left Edith's sack.
Now, you were talking about mixing with high-profile people. And, of course, you are essentially in our circle a bit of a celebrity yourself. Yeah. Does that make you nervous, Maureen, coming into a new year?
I don't think so. Why would that make me nervous?
Because every year it seems we have lots of celebrities dying.
Oh, not me. No. God, no. Maybe it will happen. No, not me. I've decided next year is not the year that I'm going to die. But I do worry about which celebrities we'll lose, because this year, I mean, we've had so many of them.
Mm, like who?
And
the woman that did the
Spinetta, she was on. She was. She died.
No, not her. The woman that you know did.
Well, look, I don't keep up with the news as much as I should, but it happens all the time. What I'm worried about is, you know, what if Andrew Bolt dies?
Oh, true.
What if Andrew Bolt dies in the same 12 months as Daniel Andrews leaves politics and all of a sudden the Herald Sun will have nothing to write about.
No one to write about.
There'll be nothing. It'll be empty pages or just Harvey Norman ads, and I don't know what to do in a world like that.
I can't imagine the Herald Sun not having anything to write. I mean, even when there's nothing happening, they manage to find something to write.
I mean... What about if Taylor Swift dies?
Are you a Swiftie, are you?
Well, no, but who'll take everybody's money?
That's true. Everyone will have money again. That would be a nightmare.
I have to start putting money into my bank. It just upsets me. I'm sorry. I know this is a Christmas podcast. I don't want to be...
No, I know, Maureen. To be honest with you, I've been struggling a little bit as well. I try to put a brave face on. You know me. I'm always smiling, always thinking of other people and trying to make everyone else's experiences a good one. But to be honest with you, Maureen, I'm struggling as well. This time of year always reminds me of the people who aren't sitting at the Christmas table.
Oh, like your son, Graham.
No, he's a bastard. He's not welcome at my...
Oh, your cousin Anne. Is your cousin Anne?
No, she's absolutely not welcome at my... No, definitely not welcome.
What about
at my
Mary? You always used to have that friend Mary.
No, I'm talking about the people that have died.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Like my dear old mother. My kiddies, you might have heard this before, but my dear old mother and I were very close. She raised me as an only child, so we were very... I mean, that always upset my sister, but Mum and I were very close. And, well, she died on Christmas Day, very sadly. She was a good Christian woman, my mother, and she was driving home from an anti-immigration protest, I believe it was, and she was in a car accident. Well, she was rushed to the hospital, the poor thing, and the doctor said they could have saved her life, but sadly, none of us could remember her blood type. But, you know, she stayed positive right up until the very end. She kept yelling, be positive, be positive. And that's something that has stuck with me.
That's an important memory for you.
It's a very important memory for me, yeah. I remember I had my daughter there. She was only, she was only in high school at the time. She was sitting there playing her Game Boy when Mum was in the hospital bed. And Mum sat up, she had, with her final sort of breath, she sort of sat up and she said, you know, you kids, you're always, you know, playing if you go, because you rely too much on technology. And Mona said, oh yeah, Nan, and she yanked the cord out of the wall, and that was it. Mum was gone. And very sad.
You have to learn some of these lessons about life at some point, and
you do.
That's how your mother did it.
And I was so devastated, Maureen, I couldn't even sleep properly for days. No, you know, I was really upset. I ended up having to see a grief counsellor. Which I don't normally do because I don't really believe in mental health.
Right, but, of course.
My doctor said I had a bit of it. So I went to see the grief counsellor. And then, coincidentally, a few years later, he also died on Christmas Day.
You're joking.
But he was so good at his job, I didn't even miss him.
Oh, that's good. They're very good. And is it a cream that you take for grief? Or?
Yes, it was. It was an ointment.
Okay, an ointment, right. Oh, well, that's, you've got a very sad life, haven't you, Edith?
What memories do you have from Christmas when you think about this spiritual time of the year? Yeah?
Well, I think of my childhood, you know. Christmas, I say it every year, it's for the kids, but of course it's for everybody, isn't it? When I was a little girl, I grew up in Ararat, as those of you listening will know. Not quite Ararat, a little bit out. I wouldn't call it a small town. It was more of a paddock. And it had a pub on it, you know. And so my dad every year... Oh, sorry, that's my phone. Sorry, I'm very sorry, Edith, and sorry to...
No, that's
all
right.
I do need to take this. I've been waiting on
this. It could be important.
Call for someone. Hello, 4012306782, McGillicuddy speaking. Yes, hi, Jane. Yes. No. Yes. No. No. Yes. Oh, Jane! Oh, Jane, I'm just that chuffed. Thank you. Yes, I'll wait by the letterbox. Oh, thank you very much. Edith, you'll never guess.
Who's Jane? I don't know.
I didn't tell you because I didn't want to, you know, if it didn't go through or anything. I've applied for a job over Christmas.
Going back into the workforce. How exciting. You're back into Homeland Security?
No. I'm not doing that this year. I got a job back in Ararat. I'll be going to Ararat for Christmas. I leave tomorrow.
Lovely. You can go visit the family paddock.
Well, hopefully I'll get to see them for a little bit if they're still alive. I believe it is a Coles now, but I will need milk at some point. Well, I applied for my childhood job. I thought, why not go back to some of the happiest days of my life?
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, when the Christmas carnival used to come to town, I used to work at the carnival. You know, the kids would come up and shoot the duck in the water or drive the dodgem cart or all that sort of thing. Well, she just told me I got the dream job that I wanted because I asked if I could work in the haunted house because back then and like now, I used to knock off earlier because all the other people that worked in the haunted house had to take their costumes off.
Oh.
And I got to just walk straight out the door.
Oh, Maureen.
This is your man, Flo Rida.
Hey, what's happening? This is your homie, Plies, man.
Hey, yo, what's poppin', man? It's your boy, Bow Weezy, man. Check it out.
Granny Bingo Wireless.
Well, it's that time of the week again to open the newspaper.
What did we call this segment? Nana's News, I think it's called.
Oh, jeez. How do we come up with that?
You want to sing the theme tune?
Welcome, Welcome to Nana's News, Nana's News, Nana's News. Welcome to Nana's News. It's got a lot of news.
Beautiful, thank you. What's first in the newspaper today?
Oh, well, it's been, of course, coming up to Christmas. Everyone's on holidays, so the journalists aren't writing much. But there is, I read this one down in Tasmania, which is just below Australia, for those of you listening from overseas. There's a town called Weldborough. There's 22 people that live there. It's a little tiny town. But they went on Facebook, which I believe is a lot like the Yellow Pages. And they have put a call out for staff. And listen to this. They said, "We are looking for high achievers who have proven experience in a high-pressure environment, ideally with references from Gordon Ramsay or Heston Blumenthal." Who's that bloke who does all the...
The stupid food, yeah.
Then it says, "Actually, who are we kidding? We're desperate for staff." And they said, the owner of it said, "Police record? Who cares? Drug habit? Join the club. Alcoholic? Don't get me started."
So they're looking for alcoholics, and specifically alcoholics and drug addicts, to come and work at their
If you've got
pub.
A criminal record, come in, you know.
I think that must be a bit of a regular thing.
Oh, really?
Well, I went to see a drag show. I won't see the venue that I saw it at, but I went to see a drag show recently, and I'm pretty sure they had the same hiring policy.
Right. It's got me thinking about my new job that I'm going to do at the Christmas carnival. You know, maybe I should take some mushrooms. Not the type that you put in a...
Strong enough.
Beef Wellington. But the type of mushrooms that make you lose your mind and think there's bugs crawling out of your fingernails.
That's a good idea.
Because what's scarier than that being in, you know, ghost house. Oh, my God, all of a sudden the walls are talking to me. or maybe I could lean into some vices that I have.
Oh, yes.
Or maybe, you know, you, for example, you could lean into some vices that you have. You know, my friend Edith is not an alcoholic. I mean, she drinks, but she's not an alcoholic.
No.
And she certainly wouldn't take illegal drugs.
No, but I have got a porn addiction. Do you think that they would be okay with me sort of fapping one off in the corner while I'm serving a pint?
You could work at the video shop. Or maybe, you know, with your, you know, personal issue, I don't want to say too much, but maybe you could work at a foot odor clinic. For example.
That would work well, actually. Maybe you could work for one of, you know, those trucks that you see driving around, the big tanks, and they clear out the fat traps at McDonald's or something like that. Maybe you save the environment, whatever. You could just slap those decals on, you know, the back of your T-shirt and go down and just lay under the grease traps, and they can just pour it into your gob.
Pour it in, yeah. And, I mean, think how much petrol that would save. And the environment. You know, no more black balloons or whatever they're called. This is the difference at the workforce these days, Ed. When we were younger and working, it was all about just do what your boss says.
Yes.
Go to work. Go sit in the office. Come in my office whenever I tell you to. That sort of thing. And now these days, the kids are going, "Oh my God, I've got to lean into my strengths and I don't worry about my opportunities to improve. I'm just going to do what I'm great at." Blah, blah,
blah. I don't want to get sexy with my boss. You know, look, who are you? Who are you to make that decision? You know?
Exactly right. You're not the boss. If your boss wants to, you just say yes. Because at the end of the day, all you have to do, and I can speak from experience, is work for 30 years, own several properties, and retire on cruise ships for the rest of your life. That's how working works. Well, at least that's how it worked when we were young.
Sorry, what was this article about again?
Drug addicts in Tasmania. Anyway, I'm going to the historic Weldborough Hotel in case the 22 people in that town want a granny bingo. We'll travel anywhere to do a granny bingo.
Especially if there's a lot of drugs going around, which it sounds like there are. What's next? Oh, here we go. It says here, a woman has found a worm in her brain that is normally only found in pythons. A woman has found a worm in her brain. How do you find a worm in your own brain?
Well, that's really puzzling them, because this worm is only ever found in pythons, and she lives in Canberra. So, you know, let's work out what's happening there, first of all.
Let me have a look. Okay, so it says here, it was a fairly regular day on the ward until a neurosurgeon colleague called him in and said, "Oh my God, you wouldn't believe what I just found in this lady's brain, and it's alive and wriggling." Caroline, did you go to the doctors, Caroline? I told you not to go anywhere near the doctors.
Were you playing pranks? Little bitch.
This worm can only transfer from pythons to humans if you're very intimate with the python. Caroline used to do a show, was in a back alley. I'm not proud to tell people this, and I hadn't ever intended on talking about this on the podcast, but Caroline used to do, I guess you could call it a special performance, where a python would
evacuate her body.
Evacuate her body, followed by 13 ping pong balls, 3 goldfish, I think it was, if I'm remembering the order correctly.
Don't forget the sewing needles.
The sewing needles, which she would shoot out at balloons, which would pop, and a finch.
And don't forget the last trick that she used to do. She used to get a pile of papers, and she'd put a bulldog clip on all the papers to keep them together. Hands free, if you know what I mean.
And that's what got her in the end, the bulldog clip. She had to stop working after that. Mm. But I didn't realise that you still had that was still an issue for you, Caroline. Are you? Yeah, she's nodding here. I'm sure we should be having this conversation in private, not in the podcast. We'll take you to the vet later, Caroline, all right? All right, good girl. All right, if you stay quiet, we'll take you to the vet. What else? Here, you can read the next one.
Oh, thank you. Oh, no. Oh, this one's about one of my favourite celebrities. Britney Spears' dad. Oh, I think he's wonderful. I think he's done such a good job with her. And to keep her, because, I mean, how often? We've had kids. They grow up and they just move out. He didn't let that happen. He kept a very, very close relationship with his daughter. Anyway, he's had a leg amputated.
One of his own.
One of his own. He didn't have control over other people's bodies at this stage in time.
I wonder if Britney did it. If Britney performed the amputation herself. Oh. Because then she'd have to be Britney Cuts. or Britney Amputates. Instead of Britney Spears.
Yeah, you're quite right. I hadn't thought of it like that. let's hope his leg doesn't go toxic. I know people who've had their leg off, and the other one always gets stronger.
I know that when he was going in for the operation, they were giving him some morphine, I think, and he kept saying, give me more.
Well, did you hear about the surgeon that did the operation? He actually had his left leg taken off, and it was meant to be the right, and the surgeon said, "Oops, I did it again."
Oh, dear. That's funny. It's lucky the surgeon was there, of course. There's been some strikes at the hospital recently, and I know some of the anaesthetists had come in and said they weren't going to work, and the boss said, "You better work, bitch."
Oh, it's that American health system. It's always a bloody circus full of womanizers.
And as he was going under, he said, "You want a piece of me?"
Oh, well, all the best with the recovery there, Mr. Spears, and you too, Mrs. Spears.
Or Mrs. Cutch. All right, one more. Oh, here we go. Oh, yes, our listeners up north will be all too aware of this one. Tropical cyclone Jasper is up in Queensland.
Oh, yes, Jasper. That name's familiar.
It is a little bit familiar, isn't it? My grandson's name, of course, surname is Jasper.
Is that right?
Yes, in fact, I've heard that Jasper's making everyone in Queensland rather wet.
Really?
Yes, apparently Jasper's making it quite hard for everyone.
Mm.
Yes, I've heard they say that Jasper's just keeps going all night long. One of the biggest they've ever seen. And I think there's going to be quite a few broken hearts when Jasper's gone.
Yeah, I heard a few locals on the news talking about it on ABC this morning.
Oh, yes.
They were saying that when Jasper arrives, no one really wants it there, but they've all just kind of accepted that it's coming.
I don't know if that's...
And they said Jasper really loves a hot, wet environment, sort of like a sauna. Really is attracted to that kind of environment, even though, obviously, that kind of environment doesn't want it around, you know? They say one of the most dangerous things about this Jasper's coming through is that it thinks that it's a lot younger than it actually is. And that's something to do with the weather system.
Are we talking about a cyclone still? Or?
Oh, I mentioned before, you know, that they're expecting a lot of lives to be sort of disrupted, but it's the home wrecking that it will do. They said something along the lines of Jasper's will sleep with a married man who's got three kids and has been married for 15 years without really caring about that family at all and will be messaging that man, and eventually that man's wife will see the messages.
And now it's time for a word from one of our sponsors.
Christmas shopping is always stressful, but it's especially hard to buy for that one relative that you just can't stand. So head on down to Hate Shop. We've got a huge selection of utter crap, perfect for a piece of shit like Uncle Mark. Choose from complete garbage like the Everybody Loves Raymond box set, Kerry Ann Kennelly's autobiography. Nobody wants to read that. Or just gift wrap Ruby Rose. Share the Christmas spirit with Fat Aunt Barbara with our holiday remix of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas that goes for 14 fucking hours. And every racist nana loves scented candles. Our fragrances include ass, cabbage farts, and taxi driver cock stank. Give the gift of stolen data with an Optus voucher and browse our huge selection of tins of Christmas biscuits that all taste like Aerogard. So come on down to Hate Shop, where giving a gift doesn't mean you give a shit.
Welcome back to the most awarded podcast in the entire history of the world.
Now, for the last time this year, we'll do our regular segment, Agony Grange, where we take letters from our listeners and give some advice. Would you like to read the first one, Maureen?
I gave the postman a handy this week, which is where I go out when he arrives and I reach in to get the letters out.
Well, they're so strapped, you know, they can't deliver letters 5 days a week, because that's gotten harder as time goes on. 100 years ago, you'd get letters delivered twice a day, 7 days a week. But now, even though we've got motorised scooters and, you know, the internet to track the fastest way and what's been... It's actually, for some reason, I'm not entirely sure how, but it's harder to deliver letters, so now they can only do it three times a week,
yeah, that's right.
If you're lucky.
That's right. So, anyway, the world makes lots of sense.
Would you like to read this first one?
Yes, please. This one. Hey, girls. Do you like being called a girl, Edie?
No. I didn't like it when I was a little girl, and I don't like it now.
No, I didn't like it when I was a little girl either, and it certainly doesn't sit well with me
when I'm a 35-year-old man.
Yep.
Hey, girls, I'm 21 and was raised without much of a focus on religion, you poor thing, as so many kids in Australia were around my age. And we wonder why we've lost our way. But my mum is actually Jewish, which according to the religion makes me Jewish.
Well, it makes you Jew-ish.
I guess I celebrate, in inverted commas, Christmas, but I don't really consider myself a practicing Christian or a practicing Jew. So I just have this ick about this time of year. What is an ick, Edith?
That's what I had to put the cream on.
Oh, you put some ointment on your ick.
Ointment on your ick, yep.
My husband used to always put cream on his ick. Is that normal? And what is your advice for how I should respond when people ask what I'm doing to celebrate Christmas? Thanks for your wonderful podcast. That's Joshua in Box Hill in Victoria. Thank you for writing in, Joshua. Well, that's it's a very interesting proposition you give to us here, Joshua. The thing I note the most is how you say celebrate in inverted commas. Joshua, let me let you in on a little secret from a lifelong Catholic. Nobody celebrates Christmas.
No.
It is an obligation that white people have cast upon the rest of this world. It's not fun. It's the same every year. I've got generations of family below me, and you just sit there, you grin, you wait for the time when everyone starts having a nap, you eat the frozen turkey from Aldi, and you just get drunk. That's not celebrating to me. That's a Wednesday,
Why, Joshua, we've had to introduce all sorts of cakes and turkeys and salad and food and, you know, mince pies and alcohol and stuff, because if you're going to be that miserable, you want to at least be able to eat and stuff yourself stupid.
So I don't know if you're missing out on anything at all. In fact, my advice for how you respond when people ask what you're doing to celebrate Christmas is you say, I'm actually going to be celebrating by not doing anything Christmas-related at all.
What's a typical Christmas day for you, Maureen?
Oh, over the years, they've been exactly the same. I go to my daughter's house, I knock on the door, she goes, Mum, I'm so stressed. Oh, just put it down under the tree. You've got all the gifts for the kids. Sorry, I had to take all the money out of my bank to buy your stupid, filthy, disgusting shit kids some gifts. And I put them under the tree. They don't say thank you. And then out comes Mark, my daughter's husband. Oh, hello, Mum. Calls me Mum. I'm not his bloody mother. And he props me up at the Christmas table. He sticks a sparkling wine in front of me. I finish that in about 2 seconds flat and ask for a beer. Then all of a sudden I see my daughter go over to one of the kids. She says, go and talk to Nan. Go and say hello, she's travelled a long way. And the little shithead comes up. Oh, hi, Nan. Merry Christmas. And then just walks away.
Our children seem to think that there's nothing going on, you know. I'm the same. They prop me up at the dinner table. They put a hat on me and they think it's funny. They take photos. They pretend that they're taking photos for memory. I know that they're sending it, you know, in the group chat to have a laugh at me. And they call me Harry. They say, oh, Mona, can you go and make sure Harry...
Harry?
Yeah, they call me Harry. It's a code name. They think I don't know about it. They say, oh, go make sure Harry's glass is full. Oh, can you get some food for Harry? Because it's short for inheritance.
Oh.
So they say, oh, make sure Harry's got something to wait. Because they can't wait until I'm gone.
Until you're dead and you leave them everything. Yeah.
That's right. You know, these kids are stupid. You know, I sit there playing the part. Oh, yes, but can you help feed me? They think they're sucking up to me for this inheritance. Little do they know, I am leaving every cent to Hancock Prospecting, Gina Reinhardt's company, because I hate them. I cannot stand them, and I cannot stand their children either. Anyway, Joshua, I'm not going to be giving you advice. Maureen's giving you hers. I'm not, and I don't want to be controversial on this podcast. I think it's generally a pretty calm sort of a podcast. But the thing is, Joshua, I don't mind Jewish people. I don't mind Christian people. I don't mind Muslim people. But I don't like Harveys. You know, I don't like someone that's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Pick a lane and stick to it. None of this hedging your bets with a foot in each camp. Not interested, Joshua. You can have your Hanukkah, have your Christmas, but not both. Sorry, love.
Yeah. Don't get the wrong idea. Edith isn't racist or anything like that.
But I was brought up a certain way. Shall we read another one?
Yes, please. Do you want to read that next one? Because I can't read another one in...
Hello, Granny Bingo. I've been made redundant. Oh, and my husband doesn't make a fortune in his line of work. We have two kids, 8 and 5. That's lovely.
Strange
names, isn't
it?
8 and 5. And we don't want to spoil the magic for them at Christmas. We managed to save enough for the presents, but unfortunately the savings won't stretch to decorations. Have you got any tips for homemade or recycled decorations? And that's from Jen in Epping.
Epping, how grim. Don't want to let this spoil the magic for them at Christmas. Is she talking about how Santa's not real?
No, I think, you know, you're walking down the street and you say, oh, they've got a Santa on their roof. There's some fairy lights on that house there. She wants to know how she can make their house, if you can call it a house in Epping, their dwelling, their, I'm going to assume, commission property, if they can make it look a little bit more festive. I would say, I don't want to make assumptions about your house, Jen, but maybe if you park it in a nicer spot in the caravan park, that could be a start. Maybe try and scrape some of the VB stickers off the bumper bar. That could liven things up a bit. Try vacuuming up all the ferret hair.
Yes.
These are some of my standard housekeeping tips. Try and clean up a few of the cigarette butts that you leave around the house, or perhaps the crushed beer cans. Yes. Could be pierced, and you could thread some lovely ribbon through them.
Oh, they'd make beautiful little baubles.
Baubles that you could hang from a branch or something, for that extra festive spirit.
I've recently been made redundant. My husband doesn't make a fortune in his line of work. Now, redundancy often means that you'll get a payout. They'll give you, you know, 3 months of your pay to say bye-bye. And what you could do with that redundancy payout, once it clears, of course, Jen, don't spend it before you've got it. That's irresponsible. Go down to the Pokies. There's a beautiful pub in Epping. We used to get the council bus down there once a month or something like that. They'd send us. It was called the Epping Plaza Hotel. And they had pokies. They had a tab, so you could put a bet on the horses, whatever. Anyway, there's a third machine along from the left on the back wall. It's the hearts, the sweethearts machine. It's an old-fashioned one. It's got actual buttons. Jen, I'm telling you, that machine pays out every bloody time. Put all of your redundancy money into there, put it on the 10 lines and play one bet per line and just keep hitting that money until it runs out, darling.
Triple it.
If you get a feature and you don't triple your money, I'll be bloody surprised. I take no responsibility, but I'll be surprised.
Some solid advice there. Another little tip, Jen, that you could do is sell the presents, sell the kids' presents. Of course, they're 5 and 8 years old. Just try and think of something bad that they did in the last 12 months. I don't know, maybe one of them was running late for school, or, you know, another one might have not done their homework one night. Just say, Santa saw that. Santa saw that you did that, and he's not giving you presents.
He sent me a letter.
He sent me a letter. No presents this year. Nothing. Nothing for you. Sell that and use that to buy some fairy lights or tacky lamppost thing that you put out the front of your little mobile home in Epping, Jen. That would be my advice.
That's what Christmas is all about. Lighting. So think of that every Christmas. Lighting. Just get some light bulbs. Probably my main piece of advice, if you can't make it down to the Epping Plaza, or even if you can't make it down to that beautiful Republic pub for the pokies, I'd suggest doing what I'm doing this year, Jen. Take a leaf out of my book, photostat it at the news agency, and follow this. I've stopped talking to my family this year on the 1st of November. I stopped trying to make any contact, and they've really haven't attempted any contact in the reverse direction. So we've had no contact since the 1st of November. I don't plan to speak to them until the 1st of February. They don't come looking for me. I'm not going to go looking for them. And I'm going to save some money by ignoring my family this year and every year into the future. So potentially, Jen, you might want to tell your husband and your little two kids, I'm going out to the shops, and then sleep in your car for 4 months. Until eventually you've decided you want to go back, Christmas has passed, and you're going to be able to re-enter the family unit, or caravan, whatever it is, and you'll be able to rekindle the relationship with your family. I'm telling you, Jen, it's the best thing I've ever done. I get all my money to myself. I don't have smelling children. I don't have to bathe anybody. I don't have to have people watch me eat. That's a big issue for me from a mental health standpoint, is when people see me eat. It's very embarrassing. So there's a lot of ups to ignoring your family at Christmas time. I'll send you a little instruction guide that I put together, Jen. I'll pop it in the mail back to you. It should be there in one of the cycles of deliveries that Australia Post will be doing. You should get it by about August.
Well, there you go, Jen. And we've got one more letter. Do you want to read this one?
Yeah, sure. Hello, ladies. Gee, we've gone from girls to ladies before the blink of an eye. Can't believe it's already that time of year. Just wondering if you have any colouring Culinary. Any food tips for the Chrissy table this year? That's from Dave in Murrumbina.
Well, there's a cost of living crisis. What are some of the things that you had growing up on the table? Because we were very poor, talking not long after the war. We were still on rations for quite a while, weren't we? We had to be quite imaginative with some of our Christmas catering.
Yes, I never could work out why the American Civil War affected our Chrissy table, but it was pretty simple. We'd have, if Dad had a good year on the farm, we'd have chicken. Mm-hmm. Which now, I mean, Jesus Christ, you can't walk into a supermarket without falling over a piece of chicken on the floor. But back then it was special. You could barely buy one, so we'd have a little chicken. And we didn't know back then that you had to cook it. So each year the Christmas table got a little smaller. There was an empty seat for my aunties and my uncles passing away from severe dysentery and food poisoning caused by uncooked chicken.
And glazed cherries were very popular as well. We survived off glazed cherries for the latter half of the 1940s and a good chunk of the 1950s. You couldn't really go to someone's house without being forced to eat your way through a giant bowl of glazed cherries.
And for those of you under the age of 100, glazed cherries are cherries that have been fermented in sugar, in a sugar syrup. They're very sweet, bright. You'd see them on the top of a Christmas cake, really. And I love them. I think they're so yummy, glazed cherries, and really good for your teeth, especially if you want them all ripped out by a dentist and have to wear dentures for the rest of your life.
Or you could do what I do, Dave, and wait for Maureen to cancel going to her family's Christmas, and then you rock up and you say, well, Maureen's not here, I heard there's a spare seat at the table, and you just gobble up all of the lunch. It is delicious.
No, that's not...
And now it's time for a word from one of our sponsors.
Are you looking for stuff to fill in time with the family this Christmas? Then head on down to Marco's Christmas Wonderland, a whole land of Christmas wonder at my place. Take a ride on the wheelchair with tinsel on it. Decorate a real plastic Christmas tree, then take the decorations off for the next group. Get a photo standing 10 metres away from Santa because of the court order. Try the lucky dip and win some shit I don't want anymore. Frolic in the snow in the asbestos shed. Play with my dog. I dressed him like an elf. He's a fucking cunt. We're conveniently located next to the vacant lot behind the shops at Epping. Come to Marco's Christmas Wonderland. It shits on the Meyer windows.
And that brings us to the end of, the year, really. This is the last podcast for the year, and it's almost time for Christmas. And what a year it's been, Maureen.
Oh, Santa Claus is coming to town, Santa Claus is coming to town. He won't be long. It has been a huge year, and, you know, putting one of these podcasts out every single week for years on end has really been a taxing and exhausting experience for me. So I always look forward to the holidays when we get them.
What would you say were some of your highlights from the year, love?
You know, I haven't sat down to think about it. I normally do that on New Year's Eve. I sit down and I think about my year and I cry. I really enjoyed... we went to Sydney. Sydney was good.
Oh, yes, that was fun. Yes, only last week we finally got up to see all of our little granny chasers up in Sydney, which was very fun. Of course, we were up there to go on the telly. We are on the Studio 10, and if you haven't seen that, you can jump on our social media and have a look. But we also, while we were up there, we did a very fun granny bingo with all of our Sydney fans, and it had been a few years since we were up there, so thank you to everyone who came along, and a big thank you to the Universal for putting us up.
Oh, didn't they do? It's such a beautiful venue. If you're going up to Sin City, go to the Universal.
On Oxford Street.
It is. Oh, it's like Studio 54.
And didn't they look after us, Maureen?
Did they ever look after us? They paid for our travel.
Oh, it was lovely. It flew us directly to Adelaide.
Which was difficult because we needed to be in Sydney, but there was a freight train that was going from Adelaide up to Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And from Darwin, they put us onto a shipping container, and that took us around to Wellington.
That's right. Then we caught a cruise ship, which we had to perform on to pay our way all the way over to Cairns, where we hitchhiked our way down to the Greyhound bus, which we got, I think it was from Toowoomba. And from Toowoomba, it was the Greyhound all the way to Oxford Street, which, you know, beautiful, beautiful month getting there. And, gosh, you should have seen the place they put us up at when we got there. Just across the road from the venue. What was it called? The Sydney,
it was just
Sydney Hotel.
But to get accommodation that close to the city, and obviously across the road, they must have just been Sydney Sauna.
It was so lovely. The room was a little bit small, I will say, and there was no bedding provided. But, it was they came and cleaned the room every half hour. This bloke came in and emptied out the little bins
emptied
and things. There was a pool and a spa. It was very nice.
All the amenities. I've never seen it. It must be the COVID protocols, how much they were spraying and wiping.
And you can get anything you want ordered to your room. I mean anything at all.
I didn't even ask, because my favourite thing when I go and stay in hotels, like I know lots of people listening, is the buffet breakfast. I will not stay in a hotel, darling, unless I've got a buffet breakfast, because I love, you can have scrambled eggs or bacon and some mushrooms. I love those little chipolata sausages. 6 o'clock in the morning, through that little serving hole they had next to my pillow, a little chipolata sausage came through. How did they know I liked that? Because I haven't told anyone. It was delicious too.
Big thank you for looking after us there. Of course, we are hoping to come back to Sydney very soon. So make sure you follow our socials for any future announcements. And if you're in Melbourne, we have a few events coming up. We've got, of course, Granny Bingo. Now, normally, our regular Granny Bingo, which happens at the Comedy Republic on Bourke Street, happens on the first Monday of every month, but the first Monday of January is January 1st, and we know how you kiddies like to, you know, get on the bags and whatever that means. So we thought we'd give you an extra week to sleep off your mistakes. So we've moved the next Granny Bingo to January 8th. And of course, we're also doing our life drawing session as part of Midsummer Festival. That's happening January 27th. Now, this is we're teaming up with the team from Gay Life Drawing, and they'll be teaching you how to do life drawing, you know, like drawing naked ladies. But we will be the ladies that you will be drawing. We'll be getting our kit off. So you can grab a ticket from the Midsummer website if you want to come along to that as well.
Come draw a picture of Nan's pussy. Make sure you join us again next year for more of the Granny Bingo Wireless podcast, where I'll be teaching you how to do old age makeup, buy wigs from people, and old costumes from the op shop so that you can return unwanted gifts to Maya without a receipt.
I'll be performing open heart surgery.
And I'll teach you how to play the grand piano.
But until then, kiddies, a very Merry Christmas from us to you. Ta-ta!
Happy Kanaka! You could work at a foot odor clinic, for example.
That caught me off guard.
yes. That-